Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Mateus Costa, an assistant professor with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine and an adjunct professor with Utrecht University. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Costa.
Thanks for the invite to talk to you today, Bruce.
Researchers with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine and the University of Saskatchewan, in partnership with the Natural Engineering and Research Council, have been looking into the development of vaccines to prevent Brachyspira-associated disease. First of all, what is Brachyspira? What are the symptoms or signs? And what are the animal health and economic implications?
Great questions. Brachyspira is a bacteria. It's a bit of a different bacteria that is a spirochete, which means the cells have a snake or S shape. In pigs, the main symptoms or the main clinical signs we see are diarrhea, and different Brachyspira lead to different clinical signs. So Brachyspira hyoscinctaria and Hampsonii will lead to swine dysentery or mucohemorrhagic diarrhea. That's the more severe disease. While Brachyspira pilosis E. coli will lead to a more mild infection, and it's usually just loose stools to watery or mucoid diarrhea. There is no blood associated with Brachyspira pilosis E. coli. So there's a range of clinical signs we can see. There are other Brachyspira species that can also cause just loose stools and watery diarrhea in general. And those are often found in healthy pigs. In diseases often associated with stress or any kind of disruption in the pig normal life, essentially. So the animal health consequences of Brachyspira infection is that it's usually a gastrointestinal disease. It obviously affects animal performance. Producers need to spend some money with antibiotics to control the disease, because there are no vaccines for any Brachyspira in any species, actually, not just pigs, but you can't vaccinate any species for Brachyspira disease. So it's one of the main bottlenecks in dealing with this pathogen.
Just how varied are the different strains of Brachyspira, and how do they compare in terms of pathogenicity, and what are the factors there?
It's a great question. Brachyspira is very diverse, and the more we learn in the past decade with the development of sequencing and other molecular analysis, the more we appreciate how diverse the Brachyspira genus is. It's kind of a big gray zone. We definitely have species that are pathogenic, so species that cause disease and species that do not. But within those species, for example, Brachyspira hyodysenteriae is classically associated with swine dysentery, right? We're learning now, though, there's some strains of Brachyspira hyodysenteriae does not necessarily cause disease in pigs, but they are still characterized as Brachyspira hyodysenteriae. What made these strains less pathogenic? That is a million-dollar question that I don't have the answer for. I would love to hear from anyone who has the answer. We're definitely investigating what makes these different strains less or more pathogenic, and that's one of the goals of our research. But it's very complicated, and that's why I said it's kind of a gray zone, because although we know that some of these strains are pathogenic and cause disease, we don't understand why some of them don't, and that's essentially a bottleneck for the research right now.
What are the key challenges in terms of developing effective vaccines to prevent Brachyspira?
One of the key challenges is that we don't fully understand how Brachyspira induces disease. We know that Brachyspira hyoscinctariae and Hampsonii does not attach to the host. So think about it as a free-living bacterium in the large intestine that never invades the host, never attaches directly to it, but yet causes very severe disease, which is different from Brachyspira pilosis E. coli. We know that Brachyspira pilosis E. coli will actually attach to the cells, and we believe that's how it will induce disease. So one of the key challenges is exactly characterizing that. How specifically, from a molecular perspective, is Brachyspira had Zinterian hypsonia, which caused a more severe presentation, so caused swine syntery. How do they actually cause disease? We don't know. We don't know if it's one toxin or multiple toxins. We don't fully understand that. We have definitely characterized a few toxins in the past decade or so here that could potentially contribute to that, but we haven't been able to completely reproduce the disease just with this candidate toxins without the bacteria alive, when exposing a susceptible pig. So we're missing that gap. And another gap that we're missing is we don't understand why pigs that had the infection at one point in their life can get reinfected later on. So why pigs don't develop protective immunity?
What approaches have been attempted in terms of vaccine development, and with what results?
So one of the questions we try to answer lately is why pigs don't develop protective immunity. And the approach that we took is that we exposed sections of colon. So essentially, we would bring the large intestine from a pig into the lab and culture there. So we had all the cells a pig has when alive, but it was under a controlled environment in the lab. And we exposed that to pathogenic Brachyspira. And we compare the large intestinal cells' response to when they were exposed to a non-pathogenic Brachyspira. And one of the things we noticed is that the immune response was different. So what we did is called transcriptomic analysis, is when we look at all the RNA that will code for proteins, and we wanted to know what was the response of the large intestine to those two Brachyspira strains, the virulent and the avirulent. And what we learned is that when that immune response was different, one of the key aspects of that immune response is that the B cells, so the cells responsible for producing antibodies, were shut down. We then moved to a more specific model where we actually had pig B cells isolated and brought into the lab. And when we exposed those swine B cells to Brachyspira, we've learned that Brachyspira shuts down one specific response cascade that activates B cells and allows them to mature and produce antibodies. So our current hypothesis is that Brachyspira shuts down that B cell maturation cascade, and that prevents the pig essentially from developing a protective immunity through antibodies, right? So if Brachyspira is not invading the cell or invading the pig, antibodies are one of the main defense mechanisms, right? Secreted antibodies into the large intestine. So if Brachyspira is shutting down that response, then it makes sense why we can't pigs that are exposed to the bacteria will develop disease again. And we think that is a bottleneck on why it is so challenging to develop vaccines for Brachyspira, because when we use approaches such as inactivated cells or subunit vaccines, which are just portions of the cells, of the Brachyspira cells, maybe we included those portions of the cell that could lead to inactivation of B cells. So in summary, what we learned is that Brachyspira shuts down the B cell response, so there is no antibody production. And we are hoping to exploit that to improve our chances of developing an effective vaccine.
What does the future hold for these efforts in terms of developing preventions?
I think it's very promising. Our research group here at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine is performing work that's never been done before on Brachyspira. We are elucidating some of these mechanisms, and those have been gaps since the first description of swine dysentery in 1921. And so it's been 100 years that we have been dealing, probably longer, but it's been at least 100 years we've been dealing with this disease in North America. And we're finally tackling it from a perspective that I believe we'll be able to come up with preventative measures. So if not a vaccine, at least a non-antibiotic alternative that will help us control and mitigate clinical signs and losses.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Not at this moment. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about our recent research, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank the funding agencies for allowing us to perform this important work.
And thank you. Our guest has been Dr. Mateus Costa, an assistant professor with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine and an adjunct professor with Utrecht University. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.